Today, we're joined by Eileen Day, founder of DVIN, the DSO Vendor Insights Network, reshaping how dental service organizations and technology vendors connect and collaborate. What makes Eileen's perspective invaluable is her outsider advantage. She didn't grow up in dentistry, giving her a fresh set of eyes to identify the fundamental disconnect between what DSOs actually need and what vendors think they want. With a background spanning enterprise SaaS, digital marketing, and high-impact sales, she brings proven strategies from outside dental into an industry ready for disruption. Named LinkedIn's DSO Influencer of the Year in 2024, Eileen has built her reputation on earning trust rather than just attention, creating platforms that prioritize relationships first, thinking over traditional marketing noise. DVIN's innovative approach to organizing vendors around patients' journey stages represents a fundamental shift in how the industry thinks about technology solutions and strategic partnerships. Welcome to Dental Tech Talk, Eileen. How are you doing today?
Thank you. I'm doing very well. That was a mouthful, so that was great.
Well, I wanted to cover everything or as much as I can, but I think I did pretty well there.
Absolutely.
Well, really, really a pleasure having you here today and was looking forward to talking to you. As always, we'll just jump right into it. Your background spans enterprise SaaS, digital marketing, as I mentioned, and some high impact sales across multiple industries, right? What specific moment or observation pulled you into the dental world, right? And how did your outsider perspective help you spot these opportunities others were missing? I know it's a loaded question, but...
That's okay. And I am really good at giving word salad answers. So bear with me and I'll try to be as smooth flowing as I can in talking about the transition from outside dental to dental and what I saw. But like you said, I'm not from this space. I am an outsider, which has pros and cons, of course. But one of the pros was I bring a fresh perspective in what works outside, but also from another industry that has also gone through what the DSO space is going through. So I think that's like probably my most relevant contribution to this space is having gone through something called consolidation in automotive. So I didn't come direct from automotive. I came from a digital transformation company that, you know, talked about tech stacks and data flowing through those different tech stacks and ensuring that messaging and you could have, you know, unique brand identity across all of these different platforms. So that's where I was currently. And on LinkedIn, someone from the DSO space lured me over with the promise of a brand new technology in a space that was growing in digital marketing. It was brand new technology based on, like, if you're familiar with what a FICO score is, it did that for marketing instead of your credit score. I thought it was fascinating. And me coming from digital marketing course, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's fantastic. I can sell that to, you know, blindfolded. So I thought it was kind of easy pickings, right? And it was also growing a company, which I specialize in that. I grow sales teams and scale companies. So I thought this is perfect. And I was a little bored of the other position, right? So I said yes and came over into this space. And I was basically like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. I was not in Kansas anymore. And I realized that when I saw that the traditional methods of trying to target and get client calls and interest in a company or in even a new technology was not the same. It did not work. Traditional cold calling, emails, networking, even centralized information on clients or on other vendors in the space for the DSOs to even know you exist. So whereas, you know, where you and I are from, there's typically some type of information for either the client or the seller to find a prospective client or buyer. So I was like, wow, this is different. And I was already a LinkedIn believer when it came to business and getting more visibility. Again, digital marketing, LinkedIn has an algorithm. So I had that ability to see that. I knew how to get visible. So I got to work. And I got to know other people in the space And from there, I realized that I wasn't the only one having a problem. I saw that also there were many, many more people on LinkedIn in this space than in other industries typically. And I also saw that there were a ton of events, like, wow, all of these events that you can go to. And it seemed like that's where the direction I need to go. I need to go start meeting people at these events. And so I went to my first event within 90 days of starting. And that's where, you know, like the big bubble above your head appears. And I was like, wow, there is a problem in this space. They're consolidating, or they're trying to, just like automotive did. And I spent 12 years in automotive from the, you know, the consolidation early stages to when they matured and were successful in scaling automotive. So my engineer head said, okay, let's fix this. So that's where I got the idea to start DVIN. I had already, through LinkedIn, established a lot of connections on the vendor side. And I saw that events were definitely a focal point of vendors getting their name out there. So I started going to more events. DVIN grew. Within a month, we had, 100 members. And fast forward, we established 2.5 years ago in February of 2023. We became a nonprofit in July of that same year. And since then, we have over 600 members now. So the nice thing about it is we don't charge a membership fee, because vendors have to pay enough already to get their name out there. So I thought, you know, I provide something easy that's not going to cost me a lot of time and money. Little did I know how big it would grow, but famous last words. But I structured it like by subject matter and by what I thought was the need for educational and resource purposes for the vendors. And we just grew and grew. And, you know, we don't advertise. It's totally grassroots and by referrals. I'm getting all the time. And there are new vendors coming into this space. So at such a rate that, you know, it's really amazing how many referrals I get from new vendors that do not know the space. So it's just been fantastic. And we're doing workshops now. And we possibly may have a podcast in our future. We started planning it and fell to the wayside a little when the workshops became actually more prominent in our efforts. So we tabled the podcast and really focused on workshops. And now we're just doing really well, and it's fun. It's every week we have a different subject matter. Sometimes we have DSOs on the calls that actually give us information on what vendors need. So it's really providing a lot of value, resources, and opportunities for the vendors.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And I love that you started from a grassroots, not even angle, but you just wanted to fix a problem that you saw. Now, on that same vein, you know, you've mentioned that DSOs and vendors often speak different languages, right? You've mentioned that in the past. Can you walk us through the specific, some specific disconnects that you identified that led to the creation of DVIN, right? Beyond what you just shared is like the organic growth, and obviously it was well received in the industry, but what was the specific disconnect that you identified, if there is one?
So I've got like what my idea was then and what it is now. Obviously, it's you know, devolved and learned more, because we are a collective mindset. These aren't just my ideas or my experiences from the space, because I'm an outsider, but I have just have a really good ability. The engineer in me pulls all the Legos together and makes them in, you know, from a yellow bug into a bumblebee. So, you know, I can take things and build them. And that's why all the input from the other vendors and the DSOs has really shifted my understanding of what the problem is. But at first, what I identified was, okay, there's no centralized place where vendors are listed. So a DSO, I need a new PMS system, or I need a marketer, or I need new chairs for my patients, whatever, you know, there's a broad spectrum of technology and products and services in the space. It's big. And so there was no place that we were listed. So I couldn't get on a website. I couldn't, you know, people don't search Google in this industry like they do others. I knew that because I can tell, you know, Google can tell you what the volume of the search word is. And DSOs just don't do that. So I saw that there was that disconnect. But flip it over, the vendors also didn't have a place they could go where there was a list of DSOs. It didn't exist. Now, since I've come into the space, I see that there are actually a couple of vendors that sell to other vendors that have these great lists of DSOs, and you can slice and dice the data, but it costs a lot of money. So, you know, it's still a problem, but at least, you know, it's there. There are DSO lists, at least better than there are vendor lists. But those were the two biggest problems I saw. And I also, like the one I told you about, saw that the traditional methods of selling on an enterprise level, those methods did not work in this space. So I saw that disconnect on both ends, you know, what vendors were doing and then what DSOs preferred. Nobody knew what they preferred, how they preferred. So those were the initial main disconnects I saw in the disconnect between DSOs and vendors. There was a bridge that needed to be gapped. So that's kind of in our mission statement, is bridging the gap between the two. But beyond that, you know, kind of a buzzword is, you know, how do you do that? Well, we foster collaboration. We provide networking opportunities, provide talks, you know, the ability to talk to each other, not when you're in the middle of a conference or on LinkedIn, and you can't have meaningful conversations that way. So I provided that platform to foster that, the talks and the communication and the collaboration between vendors and between DSOs and vendors.
Yeah, that's incredible. And for any vendors that are listening, right, like what patterns did you notice in how successful versus unsuccessful vendors approach DSO partnerships, right? Like, was there, as you're having more of these meetings, you're talking to more DSOs and vendors, did you notice any patterns in terms of what's working and what's not for any vendors that are listening to the podcast?
Patterns have definitely evolved, just like the industry is evolving, because thankfully DSOs are maturing. So they're getting better at trying to find solutions that fit their needs. But at the time, DSOs, again, had no place to go to look for a vendor, so they had to go to the conferences or they had to rely on referrals. And a problem that I saw was the vendors didn't do a great job of providing connecting the dots between what they provide, whether it was technology or product or service, providing that connection between what they do and the value they provide and the DSO pain points, because vendors didn't know what those pain points were. So that was one of the patterns that I saw that still exists. I have a clear vision of what that is now, because we just actually yesterday revealed the results of a vendor survey. And there's definitely a disconnect between, and this is a pattern that I've seen evolving, is that inability to identify the correct DSO, because all DSOs are not alike. There's starting to become some commonalities now, which is great, over the last 3 years. But 3 years ago, they'd say, and they still say it every, what is it? The phrase, if you know one DSO, you know one DSO. So that's the phrase. And, you know, everybody knows it now because they were so different. They pride themselves on being so different, but they didn't realize how that actually inhibited people from identifying common pain points. And when a vendor doesn't have a group of DSOs that have the same problem that they fix, there's an issue there in forming your messaging, right? If you can't say which specific group and which type of pain point you solve, then what DSO is going to know that you're a good fit for them? So there's huge disconnects there. And those are the patterns that started really showing themselves to me. Also, obviously, the very obvious one is cold calling, that, you know, you can't just pick up a phone and call a DSO. You can't, a dentist office. It's so different than trying to sell to an individual practice. This is a DSO. They're more corporate. There are multiple offices and centralized. Some are not. Some are half centralized. Some are decentralized. Some are dentist owned. Some are PE backed. It's a wide variety of types of DSOs out there. And the typical cold calling emails does not work. Cold calling calls does not work. Obviously, pursuing a DSO does not work, you know, pushes them away from what DSOs have told me. That is a pattern that's also, I suspected it, but it's been confirmed by what DSOs have told us. So,
of course, and like you said, DSO is a little bit more complex of an organism, right? It's not just like one doctor, one decision maker. I'm sure there are a lot of different decision makers in there, a lot of people you have to go through before you finally get to the true decision maker that would impact whatever decision that you need made or whatever relationship that you want to start. Which, again, on that same note, you know, you were being named LinkedIn's DSO Influencer of the Year in 2024 is a significant recognition, which, by the way, congratulations on that. I know that must have taken quite a bit of work and genuine work as well.
I wasn't even trying.
Yeah, well, because it was genuine, right? So you didn't have an angle. You were just doing it because you believed in something. But how were you able to build credibility and trust in an industry where, as you said, relationships are everything? It's not just about cold calling, especially as an outsider. Did that just come from going to the trade shows and kind of starting relationships and networking with DSOs and vendors? Or, you know, how were you able to get to that so fast?
Well, part of it, because that's me. That is my style. I am not a salesy person. I don't like sales. Okay. Don't tell anyone beyond this podcast, but I don't like sales. I never did like your typical very salesperson that was feature heavy, that just went in and wanted to pitch. And they call it show up and throw up. I always despise that. And that was never my style. So the teams that I have built and grown has been based on my own experience of make yourself the expert, teach people, educate them first, and then like build it and they will come, right? Educate them on what you know is truth and fact. Show yourself as a subject matter expert and help them without expecting anything in return. Now long strategy, right? Whereas a lot of salespeople think in very short term, approaches, cold call, get a pitch, da da da, sign, sign, sign. Whereas I'm, you know, on the front end, you build the trust, you make yourself the expert, they come to you. And then it's not selling anymore. You're the expert, you're the consultant, and they want what you've got. So that's basically, I brought that over to LinkedIn. And all I did was comment on people's posts. I knew that was a need. And I just comment. I was like the cheerleader. Everybody called me the cheerleader. I identified quickly who were people that, had decent content on posts. And I would make meaningful comments, because I also knew that that's what people appreciated, was you commenting specifically on what they said, not just, oh, this is great, or I love this. You know, those to me are just empty comments. But what I did was I went on and I would say, I would repost, I would engage, I would like, I would tag, you know, them back or tag somebody else that I knew to get their comment. And that type of thing that feeds the algorithm, that makes the vendor or the DSO or whoever it is post that you're commenting on, it gets that more reach. So they're thankful to you. And if you say something meaningful or that's, you know, knowledgeable, then you start establishing yourself as an expert. So that's
what
it is.
An authority domain, almost like an authority domain. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that blueprint, by the way.
Like I said, I didn't try. I didn't even know I was nominated, actually. And then they told me I was nominated. And then I was like, no way I'm going to win. But I did want to go to Key West. So I was excited about going to the awards show. And I went there and I wasn't even dressed. It was a black tie event. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to go up and get up on stage. So nobody's going to take a picture of me. And so I didn't change my clothes from what I was wearing that day. And I won. So that was like one of the biggest shockers of my life. And
that means you're doing such a great job that the community itself respects what you're doing and appreciate what you're doing, which is really awesome. And congratulations on that award, by the way.
Thank
Hopefully
you.
The picture turned out okay.
No, horrible. It was a horror. But that's okay. I don't think anybody cared. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was just...
That's amazing.
Amazing experience.
And so, absolutely. And so you're... You know, I found that your decision to organize the vendor's directory around the 10 stages of dental patients' journey is really brilliant, right? How does this structure help DSOs identify gaps and make more strategic technology decisions, right? Because the value that you're providing through your platform and the meetings that you guys have and information sharing, it's not only helping vendors, but it's also providing a tremendous value for DSOs as well. So I'll reword my question. Like, how did that structure really help DSOs identify gaps to make more strategic technology decisions?
Well, first of all, because it didn't exist, not only was a list, but there wasn't a, you know, vendor by patient journey. And then identifying that took us a long time. And I had vendors help me. I had a vendor list committee that, you know, said, okay, we need, you know, everybody that's, whether they're in DBIN or not, we wanted them in the website. And it's still a work in progress. Thousands of vendors in this space. And so the first thing was, okay, first, let's identify the platform, the foundation for how we're going to categorize them and make sure they are also very keyword heavy, because we have a plan to use AI to help any of the website visitors come in and type in what they want, just like you do on so many other websites. You know, I thought of this 2 years ago when I knew how strong AI was in identifying those types of patterns. So I'm like, I just want someone to come to our website and not even have to click, just type in what you want. And you'll find a list of vendors that either fix that problem or provide that product or that technology, et cetera. Or even with that key feature, you know. So we decided on the platform, and we worked with this excellent web developer that, you know, didn't just use WordPress. They used an actual, you know, content management system to develop it. And they built the back end while we fed them the information. And then the vendors fed us the information on what they did, what were the main, you know, bullets that they provided as far as features, because we did want those keywords in that instance. But we also wanted, you know, what problems they solved. And so we had them fill it out. And it's an ongoing thing. Like I said, we get, you know, several, probably, I don't know, maybe 10 new vendors a month that we get added to it. And it works. So it made sense. I think we're still probably going to iterate, because as the space grows, the categories are also going to expand or change or need some, you know, some changes. But, you know, we at least started, right? And then we're going to iterate from there as the industry grows. You can never stay the same.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I'm excited that you're leveraging AI. I could already kind of visualize the platform and how it would work with being able to ask questions and identify which fits are great for you. I mean, that could be a paid service on your platform, by the way, because that's extremely valuable to be able to sift through everything and do it. I know you're all about the free
model. Had a nickel for everybody that said I need to make money from this.
Maybe you should take people's advice sometimes. I'm just kidding. Honestly, I'm a big supporter of, you know, providing value for people. I like to help people. I think that's a big part of life. So I really believe it's incredible what you're doing. And obviously, the people in the industry are seeing that. And the award is a proof. The proof is in the pudding there. So I'm fully supportive of that. But on another note, I know that you are leveraging surveys and focus groups to drive, you know, smarter innovation as well. What insights are you uncovering about DSO's needs that vendors previously missed, right? We talked a little bit about how vendors should reach out to DSOs, but how is this data reshaping product development, in your opinion, on the DSO side?
So again, this was one of the disconnects, and again, another pattern that has, I don't say evolved, but I've been more aware of it, was interoperability. And like I said, I came from a digital transformation company, so I completely understood how if you have multiple tech stacks, you know, multiple platforms in your tech stack, the data needs to flow. And there's a lot that goes into that. And this industry has not quite mastered that, right? So again, because DSOs do love that customization and being unique, it's also been a con or you know, it's been a detriment to the space, because they like to have their data structured the way they want their data structured. And so that presents a problem with interoperability and the data flowing from one platform to another, and then their tech stack actually being complete because they have like fragments of tech stacks, right, that still don't talk to each other. And so it's been a big problem. And if a DSO, for instance, wants to add a new technology, the vendor not knowing what exactly is going to be needed when that integration or API takes place, and just getting that signed contract and saying we'll deal with that later, has been one of the biggest problems when it comes to technology adaptation.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's a big problem. Yeah, that's a huge problem in dental, which is something we're working on at Heydanto, is creating a seamless integration in order for all these different vendors and the technology providers to be able to work together and just get an easier access to data, even just medical data for the patients, right? I think that the industry is ripe for innovation. We see a lot of that happening. And I think that it's slowly it's getting there. It took some time. But I think the wheels are turning and there are a lot of people working on that problem. And I think the industry as a whole realized that we're better off having a better flow of information and more collaboration on the technology side, because at the end of the day, the people that benefit the most from it are the patients. The DSOs do vicariously through the patients, but if the patients are good and they're getting the proper care, getting better technology, the dentists get better technology to use, the DSOs get to manage better offices more efficiently, everyone wins.
Right. The data is more complete, because without data, your decisions are like guessing, you know, they're guessing. And, you know, so the problem wasn't just that the technology didn't talk to each other. The problem was vendors didn't, first of all, do their due diligence. They didn't have the support to help implement that technology change, whether it was, you know, the part of change management that involves the end user and getting their buy-in and even using it and then teaching them and supporting them, or whether it was making sure that the technology spoke to each other. And something underneath that was also the lack of partnerships between vendor technology companies to make sure that they spoke to each other before they even went to the DSO. So those vendor partnerships became a really integral part of what DVIN talked about, was, you know, encouraging those partnerships. Find out who we call them, their vendor neighbor is so that you know who's out there, and whether you partner with one or several. You know, if you're a PMS system, you've got to have a ton of partnerships with other technology vendors. And if you're a technology vendor that plugs into one, you need to make sure that you understand and can integrate into all the PMS systems, so that widens your net, so to speak. And then again, it prevents problems after the signature. And then you're like, oh no, it's not going to work. And then, you know, people get a sour taste in their mouth. They get bad reputations. You know, if you sell to one large DSO and that deal goes bad, your entire company can go down. So, and then, you know, that hurts the industry, but also if it DSOs, you know, I've heard of their technology getting taken down for a few days. And so that hurts the DSO's business, which also hurts the patients and their experience. So, you know, this isn't just, oh, one little problem only affects this. There's a ripple effect. And, you know, that's something that really, like you said, it's coming along. And there's more awareness around it now. It's getting talked about more, which is fantastic. There are more consultants now, which is very much needed, that are coming in and helping with that transition. Whether it's the training on that technology, getting the end user buy-in, or the integration, you know, whatever level that needs to, you know, help in aligning the technology so that the data flows. Consultants are now, you know, coming into the space and helping with that, because DSOs don't have the resources for it. Neither do the vendors. So somebody needs to do it. And so now there are consultants in the space. There are experts in certain technology and PMS systems and whatnot that are helping with that, bridging that gap between DSOs and vendors so that goes smoothly. So all of that's coming along, like it's slow. But again, 3 years ago, it was a lot worse than it is now. But there's AI now. So there's new technology now coming into the story and in the picture, and it's a buzzword. Some DSOs, just last week on an Ask the DSO call, I said, one of the questions was, what do you think about AI? And I knew that not every DSO loves AI. So I asked him, we had five on the call. And two of them were like, no, we don't want AI. We don't like it. We don't want to try it. We'll let others try it first. And then if we hear it's okay. But the others were like, no, we love it. Give it. So there are those DSOs that really embrace AI, and there's those that don't.
And I think, the AI piece, I think it's just human nature, right? We always have early technology adopters, and then there are late bloomers. And then there are people that never get on board with a new technology.
Yeah.
That's also a possibility, right? Hopefully DSOs or any DSOs that are listening, you should look into the AI space and see how you can utilize those tools in order to enhance your operations, you know? But I think it's a human nature thing. It's a new thing. We're afraid of things that we don't understand, and our automatic response, knee-jerk reaction, is to just push it away, right?
Yeah, it's here to stay. It's not going anywhere. But you know, there are, you know, even regulations as we speak that are, you know, needing to be put in place that weren't there before. In listening to phone calls, you know, there are people getting sued because they're using AI and listening to their phone calls and accessing them without getting the permission of the patient. So, you know, it's the HIPAA stuff. So, you know, there's a new need that's springing up. So, again, that's, you know, with probably every industry, is now there's another layer of technology and evolving the capabilities and the integration. So, you know, it's a
absolutely
reality. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah, but we're working through it, and we'll figure it out as we go, just like mm-hmm. we do all the time with every industry or any emerging technologies, right? There was a lot of issues with the printing press, you know. I'm pretty sure it was illegal to even own one. So over time, we adapt. Seriously, I mean, I'm pretty sure, and don't quote me on this, I need to fact check myself, but I'm pretty sure at some point there was rumors that typing was going to make us more stupid, like using, you know, a typewriter as opposed to writing by hand. But look at us now. All these developers are, you know, creating incredible tools just with a keyboard and a mouse on a computer. But I wanted to go back to, I have a question for you, Eileen. Since DVIN launched, what has been the most surprising, impactful feedback that you've received from either DSO or vendor? And how did it influence really your platform's evolution? Was there a spit, like one that really sticks out to you?
There have been a few surprises. I would say the most recent was actually the survey that we, like I said, we just, it's getting released today on LinkedIn, actually. After this is done, I'm going to be posting the results, but I went over it on the DVIN call yesterday, and it was how little vendors even look into the space before they try to sell, and what they think they know that they actually don't, that the results are saying, no, you actually don't know. Otherwise, you'd be selling more, you'd be converting more, you'd have more pitch opportunities, you'd be growing more. So obviously there's something wrong. And if you think you have a clear messaging or clear value prop to DSOs and their pain points, just putting the word DSO in your marketing materials does not suddenly make you have marketing materials that are targeted at DSOs. And that's what I see that's surprising to me, that, you know, I research everything before I do it. I don't just jump in without knowledge. And I know that, you know, there's market research, but when it comes to DSO land, it's not accurate. You need to consult with DSO experts, specialists, consultants that have been in this space, that have helped grow in this space, that know the nuances of it. Those are the people that you need to, if you're a new vendor in this space, or whether you're an old vendor that's still having problems, you need to consult with someone that knows DSO space, because that market research, we had like 40% of the vendors said that they did the market research, but only 20% consulted with a DSO specialist. Some of them just jumped right in without doing anything. You know, when you think about that statistic that only 20% consulted with a DSO consultant or specialist or expert before starting to invest in salespeople and website, you're just like, whoa, you know, that's like just heading out on a trip without knowing your destination or what you're going to encounter along the way. I'll just get in my car. How many people reach their destination doing that? It's crazy that, you know, that was literally in the results. And we had, we asked general questions too. So I wanted to make sure I didn't just get new vendors or just technology vendors. We had great representation across vendors that had been here a year, 3, 7 plus, et cetera, or that were only in dental or that sold technology product or service. There was a great, it couldn't have been more perfect representation of vendors that represented all of those. So I believe that the answers we got were good representation of what vendors did before they even tried selling. And then what they did with their marketing was another surprise. Again, not having a marketing department, not having a budget, depending on cold calling, not having a dedicated DSO page on their website that was easy to find. Those types of things, clear messaging, clear value prop, clear connecting the dots between whether you know, you can't just say we make you money or we save you time. You need to show specifics, right? And there is a lack of that. You know, some say, oh, we made them $18 million, but how? So the lack of that is surprising. Doesn't mean it's not existent, but the majority of vendors do not do that. And that was surprising as well. So I'd say those were probably the top two off the top of my head that surprised me, that I'm like, well, then that makes sense. What didn't surprise me was that when we asked them what they wanted most of all was they want more DSO contact lists. And we're like, oh, so you can cold call more and put them into a, sure, let's get you that. So, you know, just like a kid that thinks they, you know, I want candy, I'm hungry, I want candy. You know better, you know, they don't know that candy is not what they should eat. So vendors don't know that that's literally not the right path you should be taking. So we need to provide that education and the resources for them. So that's what we're going to do.
Absolutely. Super insightful. And honestly, Eileen, I think the work that you guys are doing is incredible. I think your platform is amazing. Really excited to see what the AI brings into the platform.
Yeah.
It's been really a pleasure having you today on the podcast. Thank you for sharing all the words of wisdom and the tips and tricks for the vendors and the DSOs alike. Where can people find you if anyone wants to sign up on your platform or if they want to get a hold of you for whatever reason? Where can people find you?
So you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm pretty easy to find. Just look up DVIN and that'll pop up and it'll show me as the founder and CEO. But Eileen Day on LinkedIn, and our website is DSOVIN.com. We better show up on Google if I'm a digital marketing specialist. You'll find DVIN at the top.
I'm sure you do. And I'll check it and let you know if it does. But really a pleasure having you, Eileen. Look forward to having you again once you get the second piece, the AI piece live, and wish you best of luck.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Pleasure's mine.